Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 to 12. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 to 12. Now, in case you've been following along with us each day, we've intentionally skipped verses 1 through 6. And now that we're into the types of Proverbs that we are in the rest of this book, we are going to simply hit some highlights. In other words, we may skip some verses from time to time so that we can give you information from various of these proverbs that will be very profitable to you, Lord willing. All right, so today we're going to be studying about the wise man and the scorner in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 to 12. And let's read the passage and then we'll study the thing out so that you can see some very interesting things that Solomon has to say about wise men and scorners. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Now, in the book of Proverbs, we have been studying about wise men and about wisdom. And wise men, from what we've seen so far, and it's mentioned to us again in this text, are the men who fear the Lord, who have knowledge of the holy, and who, according to the last half of verse 9, are just men. Notice the last half of verse 9. A just man will increase in learning. Notice in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then again in verse 10, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So wise men know the holy. They fear the Lord. They are just. Now, you know, we recognize that we're sinners, but a just man is a man who, or a woman, is a man or a woman who will recognize something that is wrong in their lives according to what the Bible says, and then they get it straightened out. They're living in a just relationship with God. They're just in that they recognize that God is right and they're wrong. And then they seek to live in a right relationship with God by doing the things that he says. For instance, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. Now that's a wise man. A scorner, on the other hand, openly disrespects wise men. Scorners reject wise men with contempt because they have a haughty disregard for what wise men have to say. That's a scorner. They scorn wisdom, and they scorn the men who hold to wisdom with disrespect and rejection and a haughty disregard. There's pride in there. You can tell it for sure. And according to verse 12, if you are a wise man, because that's what we're studying here, wise men and scorners, if you're a wise man, verse 12 says, thou shalt be wise for thyself. In other words, you may with your wisdom be able to impart wisdom to someone else, but whoever that is will have to be wise in order to receive it. They'll have to fear the Lord. They'll have to have knowledge of the holy. This Bible is holy, and a man has knowledge of the Bible. then he's got understanding. And if he's a just man, he will receive your wisdom. But you know something? If he's a scorner, he won't. Doesn't make any difference how wise you are. You won't be able to do him a bit of good. So the benefit of being a wise man is really personal, since you cannot use your wisdom to live another person's life. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like the verse in the New Testament that says, so every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There's nobody else that you'll be able to blame, and really nobody else that you'll be able to point to and say, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be like this. Now, you know, limit my remark there, because you've learned your wisdom from some wise men, and I've learned my wisdom from some wise men as well. But the truth of the matter was, you wouldn't have learned it if you hadn't been wise to receive it, you see. Wise for yourself, when he says, if thou be wise, thou should be wise for thyself. When he says that, that's also like this old proverb that we've used. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. In other words, you're wise because you chose to follow the fear of the Lord and to follow the knowledge of the holy and to follow justice. You chose to follow fear, holiness, and justice. Others miss the wisdom because they don't follow fear and holiness and justice, although the wisdom that you obtained was just as available to them as it was to you. Because you know what we've studied about wisdom so far, wisdom cries in the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Everybody has an opportunity to get it, but not everybody gets it. Why? Because it's all up to you. So if you're wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, because the wisdom is going to guide you and only guides those other ones that want to receive it. And those that don't, they're not going to get it. They're just not going to. You get the benefit of it yourself. Also from verse 12, we find this. If you're a scorner, he says here, if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. That is, if you're a scorner, then you don't have anyone else to blame but yourself. And you'll be the one to bear the consequences of your scorning. You know, the proverb that we have that's a common saying is this: you made your bed and you will lie in it. And that's because you've scorned the wisdom. So either way, it's your deal personally. Now, with that said, let's go in and look at what happens in the first part of what we're studying here today. For instance, in verse 7, a wise man recognizes that a scorner could care less. So generally, a wise man won't mess with him. Look at verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. The best you can hope to get by imparting wisdom or attempting to impart wisdom to a scorner is shame or a blot. That's like he goes to fight with you, or he'll hate you. That's what you get: shame, a blot, or hatred. Now, there's some things you need to understand, though, about this, because it's easy for you to say, well, he's a scorner, so I'm just going to keep it to myself. Well, not everybody that appears to be that way may, in fact, be a scorner. I know of cases, for instance, where somebody got so upset about something. I mean, this is just a general statement, but I know situations where people have gotten so upset about something, they look like a scorner, because when you attempted to impart wisdom to them about, you know, why decisions were made a certain way or why things are the way they are, they're mad and they don't want to hear what you have to say. And they appear like a scorner because it appears that they are rejecting you haughtily and disrespecting you and that they're contemptuous against you. And they may be, but it's because they're mad. And in fact, in many cases, there are other indications that they are wise. They're just very upset. And so you know what you have to do in that case? If you're going to impart wisdom to them, you're going to have to walk through, if they'll let you, what caused them to be upset and allow them to blow off some steam so you can impart some wisdom to them. Now, they're not going to, generally, they're not going to take it all and just run with it that day. They'll probably have to go and sleep on it for a week or a month or maybe even a year. before they can deal with the wisdom you've given them. But they didn't reject it out of hand. You got to recognize they were mad. Okay, so sometimes, if you're wise, sometimes you have to rebuke somebody that's angry. And though it may look like, you know, a shameful or hateful situation, like verses 7 and the first part of 8, in fact, it's not. They need what you have to say, but they also have to calm down at the same time in order to get it. Not a scorner. Don't misread that. Okay, that's one thing. The next thing that you need to understand, and that I need to understand, is sometimes, regardless of the fact that they're not going to like you, and they're not going to receive what you have to say, and shame and a blot are coming your way, sometimes you have to rebuke them anyway. Because it may be what God wants you to do, it may be your calling, it may be the circumstances of what you're dealing with. Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Stephen in Acts chapter 7 had an opportunity to witness to the Pharisees, and Jesus Christ wanted him to do it. The reason is the Pharisees were getting ready to get another opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They'd already rejected him at the cross. Some of them had come around at Acts chapter 2, and seriously, God in his long suffering and in his goodness was giving them another chance. And so Stephen preached. And he preached about Joseph, and he preached about Moses, who were both deliverers. And he said, Jesus is just like them. But man, I'm telling you, when he did, he had to lay those Pharisees out in order for them to understand how bad the death of the Lord Jesus Christ really was. And so he said to them in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels, and have not kept it. Now, everything he said right there was absolutely true. They'd not been keeping the law. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ cleansed them out of the temple on the Sabbath. They knew they weren't supposed to be in there buying and selling like that, particularly on the Sabbath. They did murder the Lord Jesus Christ, and they did resist the Holy Spirit of God. And so Stephen just gave it to them, man. He rebuked them. But you know what happened? Their reaction was the reaction of a scorner. When they heard these things in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and then they killed him. They killed him. And sometimes, depending on the circumstances, depending on God's calling on your life, depending on what he wants you to do and what needs to be done, you got to rebuke them anyway, even though they don't want to hear it. I remember years ago preaching on the street, and I think I was in Mobile, Alabama. And I'm not exactly sure where I was, because we had about five or six different places we preached there, but I was standing out in front of some bar, you know. That was the whole attempt, is to turn people away that you know, so they didn't go in there to get drunk. And the other purpose, of course, was to put so much pressure on the bar owner that they finally shut the place down, you know. There was a young guy coming by there, and he had his girlfriend with him, and he looked like he was either drunk or stoned. And I was preaching, and it so happened that my subject was hell. And he began to scorn the wisdom of God. And so I explained to him while I was preaching how impossible it would be for a man to withstand the pain of the flames. And you know, he took a lighter out of his pocket and flicked up a big flame. And I said, all right, if you're so sharp, why don't you put your hand over the flame and see how long you can stand it? I said, you won't be able to stand it for a second and a half. And surely enough, a second and a half later, he pulled his hand away from it. I said, there you go. You've got the best example you've ever seen. You're not going to be able to take the torments of fire in hell if you can't even stand a Bic lighter for a second and a half. We'd given him a track. And instead of reading that tract, he went ahead and just took that lighter over to the tract and burned the tract and let it drop to impress his girlfriend and to scorn the wisdom of God. We couldn't stop the message just because he didn't want to receive it. He needed it. And sometimes, in spite of their reactions and in spite of the fact that you know that the man that you're rebuking is a scorner, you got to deliver the message anyway. Amos knew about that, and in Amos chapter 5, verse 10, he said, "They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly." That's what Amos said. They hate him, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. But you're sometimes in a place and sometimes in a circumstance where, in spite of the fact that they're going to scorn the wisdom of God, they got to get the message anyway. And a lot of times, that's in a public witness. I was preaching on the street in South Africa in a community called Hillbrow, and the gymnasium out in front of which we were preaching, I guess it really wasn't a gymnasium because that conjures up in your mind, you know, a metal building with just a concrete floor and a bunch of kids running around in it. It was actually a health club. But after Mandela came into office, they converted that health club into a brothel and became a house of prostitution, which had been illegal before he came into office. And so the prostitutes were out on the street and we were there preaching. You know, that was a strong rebuke to their way of life. But this is where the preacher set us up, and there's where we had to preach. And sometimes you got to do it anyway. All right, now, not only do you have to recognize that sometimes the person's not a scorner, he's just mad, and sometimes you have to rebuke him anyway, though you know it's going to go against you. John the Baptist did it. John the Baptist did it. He reproved Herod for that marriage to his brother's wife. And she wanted to kill him. And Herod didn't like it, but he backed off of killing him until Herodias' daughter danced. And then he made a vow that he couldn't reverse, and John the Baptist died. Why? Because he took on somebody that was a scorner, that hated him, and that blotted him, I mean literally, by taking his head off. Well, you think that John the Baptist shouldn't have preached the message? Or do you think that Stephen shouldn't have preached the message? Sometimes you just have to, knowing what the consequences are going to be. Then again, something else to understand is that sometimes you have to rebuke them even though you don't know how it's going to turn out. In other words, you're not sure whether they're a scorner or a wise man, but you can't let the thing go. It's not necessarily that you got mad about it. It's just that you can't let it stay out there with the comment they made or whatever their testimony is without some remark from the words of God. Take, for instance, that case where Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 talked to his disciples and others that were following him about something that was very hard. He said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal life in you." Now, that was a very hard statement because nobody had been extracting his blood and drinking it, and nobody had been carving off parts of his body and eating them. And the disciples were having a hard time with it. And then the Lord told them plainly, he said, "Now look, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto thee, they are spirit and they are life." In other words, he wasn't talking literally about eating his body and literally draining his blood to drink it. He was talking about the fact that he's the bread of life and the fact that, as he said in verse 63, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." Well, some of the disciples couldn't handle it, and they left. I mean, there you go. You know, you don't know how things are going to turn out, but you just do it. Well, now, when they left, Jesus had to understand that there was a good possibility if he put a lot of pressure on his disciples, some of them might peel out too. And there was a time when he had to rebuke Peter. And when he looked at Peter, he said, "Satan, get thee behind me," or "get thee behind me, Satan." And I mean, he was looking right at Peter. And Peter took the rebuke. There was a time when Paul got after Peter about his dissimulation, about faking, about eating with the Gentiles. And then when the Jews came from James, he pretended not to be eating with the Gentiles. And Paul jumped him out about it right to his face. they didn't really know how the thing was going to turn out, but they couldn't let what was going on go without the rebuke. They just had to do it. And you have to risk it sometimes. Now, Peter loved Paul. He called him beloved. And Peter loved Jesus. And Jesus loved Peter, and Paul loved Peter. And so they just had to risk it. I mean, they had to do it, not knowing exactly how the thing was going to turn out. Thank God it turned out the way that it did, but they didn't have any proof of it before they rebuked him. They loved him, and that's kind of what held the thing together. I mean, there was a time when a rich ruler came to Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 18, and Jesus, at first, he skirted the issue. I mean, the guy says, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And he told him, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "Which ones?" And he named a few of them, but he didn't say anything about covetousness. And the guy pressed him a little more because he said, "All these have I done from my youth up." And the Lord said, "Okay, then. All right, if you want to have eternal life, sell it all. Give it to the poor. And follow me." That was just too much. And the guy walked off sorrowful. Well, c'est la vie. C'est la vie. Sometimes you give the rebuke and it's all you can do. It's all you can do. They don't take it and it's all you can do. Something else to keep in mind here about rebuking a scorner, potentially, is sometimes you need to rebuke them and you don't know this, but they're going to accept it. But you are too scared or too unconcerned to do it. Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. The Lord said, "Go over there and tell them I'm going to destroy the city in 40 days. And you know what? Jonah didn't want to go over there and preach. He just wanted that 40 days to elapse, and he wanted the city to be destroyed because they were enemies of the Jews, and he did not want to bother. And the Lord said, "Go down there and tell them." So you know what happened? Jonah ended up, of course, in the belly of a whale because he had turned and gone the wrong direction, and eventually he agreed to go into Nineveh and preached, and sure enough he preached, and sure enough they got right with God, and sure enough Jonah got mad about it. Sometimes you've got a rebuke, you don't know whether they're going to accept it or not, but because of fear or because of lack of concern or whatever else your motive may be, you might not have anything to say to them about it at all. Don't chicken out. Don't chicken out if it's the right thing to do. Now, we're going to go on and talk about what happens if you rebuke a wise man, but I just want to summarize those four things again because they're very important. A wise man will recognize that a scorner could care less, and he recognizes that there's shame and a blot and hatred coming. But because you recognize the fellow's mad and not really a scorner, you'll go ahead and give him the information and just give him time to stew over it and stew down. Sometimes you have to rebuke him anyway, like Stephen and John the Baptist did, like Amos did. Sometimes you have to rebuke him and you're really not sure how the thing is going to turn out, and you hope it turns out like Jesus and Peter and Paul and Peter. And sometimes you need to rebuke them and they're going to receive it, but you don't know that. I mean, as far as you're concerned, because they're an enemy or something else, you may characterize them as a scorner, but you got to deliver the message anyway, just like Jonah did to the men of Nineveh. Okay? Now, here's the next thing from our text. You can rebuke a wise man, and you can rebuke a just man. And you know what? There'll be no shame, there'll be no blot, and there'll be no hatred. They will increase in wisdom, and they will increase in learning. The Bible says this in the second half of verse 8, "Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Wow. That's exactly what happened when Jesus rebuked Peter, and exactly what happened when Paul rebuked Peter. They ended up loving each other. You rebuke him, he says, and he'll love thee. You know why? Because a wise man wants that wisdom, even if getting it means it's going to cause him to hurt for a little while. It's okay. In Proverbs 9, verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Wise men and just men thrive on increasing the learning and increasing their wisdom, and they don't care that it hurts sometimes. Now remember, real learning and real wisdom and real knowledge come from the Lord and not merely from getting an education. It all starts with the fear of the Lord. It starts with the knowledge of the holy. And there are actually people who are learning a great deal. They know way more than you and me and 20 of our friends put together. They have accumulated a wealth of knowledge. They've got a huge vocabulary. They're brilliant speakers. They are well-learned in sciences and in history and in many other things. But they never got the wisdom of God because they didn't fear the Lord. Paul said to Timothy, he said, this type, he said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's a sad situation. In other words, there are many a professor who have scorned the wisdom of God and many a student who have followed right along with them. And that's sad. Listen, if he's a wise man and he wants to increase his learning, he's going to increase it no matter how it's delivered. I'm reminded when I first started preaching on the radio, I don't know, 10 years ago, I didn't know much about preaching on the radio. What I knew was that I firmly believed the things that I believed about that Bible, and I believed that that Bible was a sledgehammer, and I went after every false doctrine and every thing I didn't like, I mean with a vengeance, man, ruthlessly. And I can remember folks talking to me sometimes and saying, man, you are just mean. Don't even want to listen to you. I remember those days. But you know what? In spite of all that meanness, there were people that listened. And in spite of all those rebukes, there were people that listened and actually joined the church. And you know why? Because they were wise. Not about me, but they were wise about the words of God, and they wanted more wisdom. And they were just and wanted to increase learning. And they didn't mind that this young guy was, I think like one guy said, a warthog. Now, I realize you don't have to make people mad intentionally to help them to learn the Bible, but the point is, if you're wise, and the point is, if you want to learn and you fear the Lord, you'll take it. You'll take it no matter how it's delivered, because you want to know more about God and be wise according to the wisdom that God will give you. And that's commendable. That's a great thing. If you're a scorner, the least little bit will upset you because you don't like God's wisdom a bit. And there they are, the wise man and the scorner.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.